get dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you've got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine and maybe, just maybe, a little bit more. Here are your hosts, Dr. Brian McCarty and Big Time Mike McGivern on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. No Big Time this week. He is off slacking up north somewhere, enjoying himself. Hopefully he and his wife are having a good time. So you're stuck with Dr. Brian McCarty, that's me, and our special guest in studio, Dr. Amin Afsari. Dr. Afsari, how are you?
Great. Thanks. Thanks for having me back on. It's great to be back.
Absolutely. So we're going to have a great show today because we're not only are we going to talk about a lot of elbow issues, but we're going to be able to talk a little bit about the PGA Championship.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. It's right up the road.
I'm a pretty amateur golfer, but it's even for me, it's great to have them nearby and in town, and I'm going up this weekend myself.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I was a marshal there in 2004. And I've played that course a whole bunch of times, and I can tell you it is fun to see them just rip it apart when for most of us mere mortals, that would be quite the opposite.
Yeah, I have. I tell everyone I have no business playing that course. I'm not nearly good enough. There's not enough balls that I could possibly fit in my bag to get through that course.
Well, I've been as low as a 3 handicap, and I shot 83 from the tips there, and I thought it was one of the best rounds I've ever played in my life. So I would have maybe almost beaten Tiger, but
sure, not. You could have.
If I get just the right day. So listen, talking about the PGA Championship and all the people who are going to head up there this weekend, please remember to stay hydrated, right? So this is sounds like the lamest advice ever on a sports talk show host, but or a talk show about sports injuries. But the truth is that hydration is kind of a big deal. And you were talking about how your wife was up at the Packer game and there were a lot of people struggling with that there, right?
Oh, no. Amy was at the PGA yesterday. And
up at the PGA.
Yeah, she
saw
people basically passing out heat exhaustion left and right.
Yeah, so please stay hydrated. I know it seems like you can. It's not a big deal, but when you're sitting there sweating for hours on end waiting for guys to come through, believe me, you can get dehydrated in a hurry. The other thing is, we talked last time about shoe wear. I can't emphasize enough, if you have golf shoes or at least some running shoes or something with some treads, wear those when you go up. It's very slippery up there. We had a ton of ankle injuries last time this hat was held there. So just make sure you take care of that. It looks like they've done a really good job rerouting the spectators because they haven't had nearly the number of injuries that we saw in years past.
Yeah.
So it's all good. So far, it looks like the likely suspects are doing well there. The guy named David Lingmerth, a lot of people haven't heard of, is a really outstanding golfer. He won the Memorial this year, and now he's up near the top of the leaderboard here again. Tiger, my former hero, and a lot of people's former hero, my kid's hero growing up, is still not Tiger. I think we should rename him Kitty Cat Woods.
Oh, boy.
You know, until he gets his mojo back. And then I think we also saw John Daly do something a lot of us have done.
John Daly, yeah.
Up until the part where he chucked his club into the lake.
3 balls in the water and a club. Nice.
Yeah. Now, the chucking of the club into the lake was probably his best swing. If you really want to look at biomechanics of the swing, that's a good one. Because when you throw your club, you actually just let it go. And he did that, and he threw it quite far.
And it was resurrected by a young man in a boat, and I'm sure John wasn't expecting it to be resurrected.
Yes. I think for all those out there who haven't seen it, you should check out YouTube. You can check out a clip of John Daly with perfect form, one-handing a club into Lake Michigan after hitting a lot of balls in the water. I think Tiger might have paid John Daly to take some of the attention off of him because it really made Tiger look good by comparison.
It's working.
It's working. It's the only guy making Tiger look good. All right. Sounds good. Well, listen, today we want to touch on some elbow problems. And what we're going to talk about in the next segment, we're going to get into golfers versus tennis elbow. So, you know, we're not quite ready to get full deep into this, but there is a difference. And it's a very common problem. So what do you think about the difference between golfers and tennis elbow? Where do those names come from? What do they mean? What do you think? I mean,
well, you know, I don't see a lot of tennis players, to be honest, with tennis elbow, but yeah. We commonly see it with active tennis players, repetitive motion with the backhand stroke. And certainly it started off seeing it a lot in competitive tennis players. And now you see it commonly in a lot of industrial workers, a lot of work situations.
Yeah, so basically, for people who are driving around or listening to the show, if you take your hand and make a fist out of it and kind of pull your wrist backwards a little bit, and you look on the outside of your elbow, you'll see a little bulge there. That little bulge is a set of tendons called the common extensor tendons. And the deepest one of those has a really cool name, the extensor carpi radialis brevis. There's a quiz, by the way, on the website about this. Not really. But that's the one that typically gets injured, right?
Yeah, it's a cool name, but that's debatable. I mean, I think most surgeons would think it's a cool name.
Well, I think it's a cool name. I actually almost named my daughter that, but at the last second, we changed it to Megan.
To Megan.
And she's here in studio with us today. That's why I brought that up. So anyway, this on the outside part of your elbow is where this pain occurs. A lot of people get this. It hurts with shaking hands, right? Hurts with any sort of power grip activities. And so it's actually, these days, very common in golfers, right?
Yeah.
So I'm old and I grew up playing tennis. So we saw this a lot in tennis in the old days. And the reason we saw it in tennis was smaller wooden rackets and a lot of mishits with one-handed backhands. And so you can imagine if you just make, again, in the car, you make a little backswing with a backhand idea, you're using those tendons to really extend through the ball. And so in the old days, it was a very common tennis problem. That's how it got the nickname tennis elbow. Now, we have to come up with fancy names, right? Because we have to justify all that years of schooling that we did.
Right.
So what do we call this?
Lateral epicondylitis.
Yeah, so that's also on the
infamous
on the quiz. But lateral epicondylitis is basically a term. Itis, if you ever see that term, itis means inflammation. Okay, so you hear lateral epicondylitis. It just means there's inflammation around the structure called the lateral epicondyle, which is that bump on the outside part of your elbow. So I guarantee you there are a lot of you out there driving around or listening to this who are feeling pain there right now and thinking, geez, you know, every time I shake hands, I feel it. It's been going on for ages. So what do you do about that, Amin?
Well, first of all, a lot of patients ask me, why does this hurt so much? Because you look at your elbow, it's not that swollen. It's not big and inflamed. It's not bruised. But it hurts like crazy and drives people nuts. And the reason it hurts so much is because that tendon is pulling off the surface of the bone where there's periosteum. The periosteum is that covering of the bone with nerve endings in it, and that's painful when that tendon starts slowly pulling off the bone. So what we do about it is initially rest, activity modification, some anti-inflammatory pills, something like ibuprofen, naproxen, also known as Aleve. Over the counter can work. Ice to that elbow. If you fill up a Dixie cup with water, freeze it, and then tear off the edges and stick it right on the side of your elbow, that can help.
About 20 minutes for that?
About 20 minutes.
Yeah, you don't want to put it on for too long because you can actually get frostbite from that if you put it too long. But for about 20 minutes at a time, really helps a lot. Gets the inflammation down, right?
Yeah, and exercises. Some stretching exercises can help. Physical therapy could help. And unfortunately, what I tell my patients is there's no one treatment that fixes this in every patient. So we sort of go down the list of treatment options and hope that the body, along with some help, the body heals it up.
Yeah, so for the people out there who are experiencing this, and I know there are some of you out there because I see it every single day in my office, and I'm sure Dr. Afsari does too.
It's very common.
Start with the simple things. A little anti-inflammatory. Either get it rest by changing your activity, or there are some straps that you can use. You see people wearing these elbow straps sometimes. Those can be really helpful for this, called a counterforce brace. It actually shortens the length of the tendon, takes some of the stress off of it. You can use a wrist splint. That also works. But basically, think about this. If you have to pick things up, if you pick it up with your hand facing downward, that'll aggravate this particular problem. If you turn your hand upward, it won't. And so that's one of the ways, if you're at home and you're wondering if this is what you have, do you have tennis elbow? Well, that's one way to tell, because if you rotate your palm up, you don't use the muscles that are involved in this problem, and that should not be painful. Anything that involves gripping, especially with your palm facing down, tends to aggravate it. And if that's the case, and it's been going on, I usually say more than a month, good time to come and see us to get it checked out. So again, Dr. Afsari is here at mymosh.com, M-Y-M-O-S-H.com. It's a great place to get more information. and then you can get an appointment, and then you'll know what it is, and you'll know what to do about it. We have a whole litany of treatments, right?
Yeah, once you get through those options, the next step might be a cortisone injection, maybe two, no more than three a year is my rule of thumb.
Yeah, I agree with that. The cortisone gets a bad rap, but it's effective for some of these things, but if you keep doing it over and over and over, what happens?
It causes damage.
Yeah.
It will cause a tendon tear to get larger. It will potentially cause ligament injury down beneath the tendon where there's a critical ligament. You don't want to injure that, and multiple cortisone injections can damage that.
Yeah, so maybe one or two shots might help, but if it's not working, it's usually because there's a tear at the site where the tendon attaches to the bone. And right now, the only way to really effectively get rid of that is to repair it. Sometimes you can try other things, but most of the time, that's what it ends up with. There are some interesting research areas in this area with all these tendon problems with injectable PRP, which we've talked about a couple times on this show, platelet-rich plasma, also nitrous oxide patches, which have never come to fruition. There's a lot of research in this area that may still be an option in the future. And then, you know, ultimately we can repair them, but if it's not gotten better, come on in, check it out.
In fact, there's another new one. I don't know if you've used this yet, but I've started using it over the past year. It's called 10X. Use an ultrasound device to visualize the partial tendon tear. And then a small needle. It's sort of a large bore needle, but relatively speaking, it's a small device. It goes in through a small nick in the skin, and that has an irrigating process, and it also works as a little kind of ultrasonic vibration jackhammer, and it debrides the tendon. You can see the tendon being debrided right underneath the ultrasound image, and I've had good success with that.
Excellent. So a number of different options. So if you're out there and you're having lateral elbow pain, you're wondering why it's so annoying and everybody's tired of hearing about it, especially yourself, then go to mymosh.com and get it checked out. The other thing I wanted to clear up, because a lot of people go to our website and they're confused because there's a mymosh.com and a mymosh.com, and it seems very odd. Well, the difference is that the orthopedic hospital is called Mosh, and so the website for that hospital is Mosh. We have expanded our services across the entire Wheaton Franciscan healthcare system, and that's called Midwest Orthopedic Specialty Services. So for all of you who are confused, and I know we're sometimes confused by it, but it's a good thing. It means that the same people who are providing service at the hospitals are also providing service throughout the Wheaton system. And so you can go to mymosh.com, which is the same basic information, and our website, podcast, and everything is in there as well. So check it out. Again, I'm here with our special guest today, Dr. Amin Afsari. After the break, we're going to talk about golfer's elbow, and I think you'll be surprised at what you hear about this and how it relates to the PGA Championship. All right, we'll talk to you soon after the break. Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Great day out there today, Brian.
Got to say it that way to, you know, for Mike.
Oh, yeah. His patented The Fan. I love it.
So, you know, that music that we let in with is from Caddyshack. So just to remind everybody, it's a golf weekend, PGA Championship. Better check it out. It's going to be a great tournament. So far, everything cruising along here. We were just trying to see if it's live. I don't think it is, but yeah, actually it's on TNT, I believe, right now. So we'll check that out as we go, keep you updated. So we were talking a little bit about Irish Fest, right?
Because
I have just a little bit of Irish in me.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, almost all of it, pretty much. But our teams, we have three teams from the Midwest Orthopedic Specialty Hospital and related service groups. We have three teams running this week. So big shout out to all the people who are participating today in the Irish Fest run.
And the good news is the fundraiser associated with the run, the foundation, is the Arthritis Foundation.
Yeah,
and that's a foundation that I personally am happy to say that I contribute to and donate to, because if we can find a cure for arthritis and different types of arthritis, I think we would do our patients a ton of good.
Yeah, we are definitely on the side of curing arthritis. That's the way to go. And we would love to be less busy with that problem, because that would mean a lot of people would be out of pain. So support the Arthritis Foundation. If you want to participate in the run, it's I think it's at 10 or 10:30 this morning. I'm sure you can still sign up and get to be part of it. And we want to wish all of our teams luck running in there this morning. It's pretty hot today, but I think they're going to get it in early enough. It should be okay.
Yeah, before the 90 degrees.
Yep. Yeah, it's fantastic. So get down to Irish Fest, check it out, and definitely support the Arthritis Foundation. All right, so before the break, we talked a little bit about golfer's elbow. And ironically, we were discussing how a lot of golfers come in. They actually have what people call tennis elbow, right? So they have it on the outside of the elbow.
Gets confusing.
It is a little bit confusing. And the reason they get it from that is because they grip the club very hard. And so they aggravate those tendons on the outside. But traditionally, the golfer's elbow is on the inside part of your elbow.
Right. Same process as the other tendonitis we just spoke about before the break, tennis elbow. Golfer's elbow, if you put your elbow down and rest it at the side of your body, the bony bump that's resting against the side of your body is the medial side of the elbow, or the inside. We'll refer to it as the inside of the elbow. And that bony bump you feel right where that bone is, there's a tendon attachment. And that tendon attachment is the tendon that bends the wrist down and rotates your palm down. And that tendon, with repetitive activity such as golfing, gripping, lifting, some work activities,
throwing, a lot of times getting from throwing or serving tennis,
slowly cause small tears again off the surface of the bone.
Yeah, this problem tends to be slightly less aggravating because it's not used all the time. You know, a lot of people with the tennis elbow, you're using that pretty much all day long. Every time you grip something, you feel it. You grab a gallon of milk out of the fridge, you feel it. With golfer's elbow on the inside, it's not always as painful, but when it is painful,
I'll tell you, I have a small bout of it myself.
Oh, we
have just recently.
Have you eaten yet?
What's that? I'll be at your office Monday morning, Brian. I'll blame this on my trainers over at Athletes Performance. They're a great group of guys who do a good job training us and keeping old dads in shape. But with lifting and working out, I've developed a little golfer's elbow myself on the left side. I notice it even when I open a door and grip a doorknob and open a heavy door. It's painful.
Yeah, it definitely can be sore. I've had it myself, and it's definitely painful, but it's painful in a different spot. So again, if you straighten your elbow out, feel the bump on the inside part of your elbow, that's where you'd feel this. It's more activity related, usually with gripping, you know, power grip with curls or that sort of thing. Throwing is usually a problem with this. So we wanted to talk in this segment about what's over there. So what's on the inside part of your elbow that can go wrong, and then help people to differentiate what might be the problem and what to do about it. So the golfer's elbow problem is really a problem where there's partial tearing of the tendons, just like the tennis elbow problem. But if you're a child, let's say you're a young thrower, what other problems might parents be concerned about there?
Well, in that case, your growth plates are open. So when the growth plate is open, the growth plate's the weak spot in the bone, and weaker than tendon, weaker than the ligaments. And then you'll start to get what's called an apophysitis, which is a big word for inflammation of the growth plate.
You just made that up, didn't you?
Yeah. How'd you know? When you have an apophysitis, as a child with pain at the elbow, usually you're going to see this a lot of times in little leaguers, and that's called little leaguer's elbow, similar to little leaguer's shoulder, where it's also a growth plate that's inflamed and irritated and painful, and it requires rest for that to heal.
Yeah, so the point being that elbow pain in the inside part of the elbow in throwers, or frankly on the outside part of the elbow too, you shouldn't ignore that, right?
Correct.
So if you're having pain in your elbow and you're a thrower, you're playing baseball, it's now getting to the playoffs, your elbow's really sore, and you know mom and dad are thinking, well, is it okay to play through it? The answer is probably no. You probably better be careful with that.
That brings up a good point. When you hear about professional athletes playing through pain, and you hear about how it's part of their profession, part of what they go through every season, year in and year out, that applies to professionals who've been diagnosed immediately. They know what the pain is that they're playing through. They've had an MRI within a couple hours of their injury, maybe. And as amateur athletes, you don't want to play through pain until you know what you're dealing with and you know what's going on and you've been evaluated.
Yeah, this is a really important point because we see athletes for our living, and one of the goals we have is to be able to tell them if they can continue or not. And so, you know, we always in my office, I always talk about three categories of injury. There are category one injuries are sort of muscle strains and things, and that are bruises that you can pretty much ignore. You can just kind of go through those. And then there are grade two injuries, category two injuries, which probably you're not going to make them worse, but they may be too painful to play through. And so that's sort of a judgment call. You know, maybe you take some Advil, a leave, see the trainer, maybe get some tape on there and go and try. If you're really struggling, maybe you don't go. And then there are category three injuries like ACL ruptures or other things like this, medial elbow pain in a thrower, that until you have a proper diagnosis, you know exactly what's wrong. You definitely don't want to push through that because it can do permanent harm to you.
Right.
So
yeah, you want to know what you're dealing with before you play through pain. And with elbow problems like that, it's typically rest and pitch counts.
Yeah,
counting the pitches as a pitcher in Little League is very important.
Yeah, we had a long discussion about this the other day with Dr. Pennington, who was in here, and we talked about elbow problems and pitch counts and the importance of following these guidelines, not just for one team, but overall, right? Because some people play on multiple teams.
Yeah.
And you really have to be careful with that. So other things that happen on the inside part of the elbow relate to that. So ligament injuries, like the ulnar collateral ligament, you hear about Tommy John injuries, those are also right next to that medial bump.
Right. That ligament's more concerning when the physis, the growth plates are closed, and now the stress of a throw or any stress where the elbow is bending, the hand is bending away from the body, so to speak. When that ligament's getting stressed repetitively, or it can happen as a sudden acute injury where the ligament suddenly gives way and then the elbow's bending sideways more than it should be.
Yeah, then it can get really painful over there as well. And then finally, there's a nerve that runs behind that. It's called the funny bone. It's the ulnar nerve.
Which is not a bone.
How weird is that? So the funny bone is not a bone at all. It's actually a nerve. It's called the ulnar nerve. And that nerve can snap over the medial side of your elbow and it can cause pain. So, you know, only good golfers really get golfer's elbow. Do you know why that is?
I do not.
Because when you're a good golfer and you go back in your backswing, the first thing that happens is on the downswing is the medial elbow comes into your side. And so they actually sling. It's like skipping a stone. And that's so good golfers come in with the elbow and it's like skipping a stone. That's how they get that whipping motion of the club through the ball. And so that's where they put a lot of stress on the medial elbow. You know, most of us don't do that. And so it's not.
not me.
It's not the same. But if you watch today, if you go to the PGA, you watch these guys hit, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. They stay behind the ball, and it's like they're throwing their club like John Daly into Lake Michigan. And when they come through, they put a lot of strain on the medial elbow. So, by the way, update, PGA Championship, looking at the live leaderboard here, Matt Jones, not a common household name, Australian golfer, very talented guy, is leading the PGA. He's at minus 11. He's leading. He's on his last hole, which will be the ninth hole, which is an incredible hole, by the way. I don't know if you've played up there, but the second shot into number nine is really daunting. There's a swamp to the right. There's bunkers and nasty stuff to the left. It's a really cool hole. So,
do you think with the rain last night, you think scores will go down a little more?
I do think scores will go down. Yeah. These guys, if you give them a soft course, no matter how long it is, they will destroy it. Their accuracy with their iron shots is absolutely incredible.
So Tiger could still make the cut.
Tiger's done. He's out. He is out, and he will be not playing until next week, where he's in the Wyndham Championship, which is probably not where he was expecting to be.
Huh.
So maybe next year. So anyway, we're going to get to a break. On the other side of the break, we're going to be talking about ruptured biceps tendons. So we're going to talk specifically about the distal biceps. And you don't want to miss this because a lot of people say, I tore my biceps. My friend did this. He didn't have any problems, so I don't need surgery either. So we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM,
The Fan.
Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. That's Rolling in the Deep by Adele, brought to you by Megan McCarty. Megan Constance Elizabeth McCarty. My daughter is here with us, and she's a dancer, so she's not into the golf thing so much, but she does have good taste in music, right? Yeah. All right, so we're here with our special guest, Dr. Amin Afsari. He is talking to us about elbow problems. And it's a perfect weekend to talk about it with the PGA Championship going. I'll tell you what, a lot of times we're here in Wisconsin, and it's not always the easiest place to live. You know, sometimes the snowbanks are above your head, and it's so cold outside that you go out and you just freeze to death. But this weekend is a great weekend to be in Wisconsin. You got Irish Fest down at the lakefront. We've got our Arthritis Foundation run going on in just a couple hours here. You got the PGA Championship. Good times to be in Wisconsin.
State Fair.
Yeah. So anyway, this is a great weekend. Everybody, make sure you get outside, have some fun. Don't forget your sunscreen. I'm Irish, I'm sunburning under the lights here in the studio.
The UV lights. I tell you what, though, I need this kind of weather, this hot, humid, nasty August weather, in order to look forward to those high snowbanks. I need this, and this is going to help me get through to the next season.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Well, Coppertone Sports Spray, SPF 30 or above for all of you people. I'll tell you what, the stuff is great, though. I burn literally under a 60-watt light bulb, and you will not burn. If you put that on, you can sweat, you can swim, you can do whatever. And it stays, and they're not even a sponsor.
You're a dermatologist's dream, bro.
You know what I am? I am a preventative medicine guy. And if you can prevent sunburns, I got sunburned so many times when I was a kid, you can't even believe it. All right. So moving along, we were going to talk a little bit today about biceps tendon injuries. But before we get to that, I want to ask you about who your favorite is for the PGA this week.
Well, I'm always a fan of the local players.
Yeah.
Got to love Steve Stricker. Hopefully he pulls in a little closer. I think he's about 10 strokes out right now.
Yeah, he's back a little ways now, but he is fantastic.
Nice guy. I like Jason Day. I'd like to see him. He's a young up-and-comer.
He's a terrific guy and a great golfer and a really nice guy as well. He's been up there a bunch of times. Right now, it's a great leaderboard. You got Jason Day, Justin Rose, and, of course, Matt Jones, the young Australian up there at the top. So, a lot of golf to be played. Jordan Spieth is lurking. He's just a few back. A lot of good stuff coming.
Spieth is impressive, too, but I heard he's from Texas, so he's a Dallas fan. He's a Cowboys fan. That's an issue.
Yeah, you know, you can't really hold it against him since he grew up there, but in any other circumstance, I would agree I'd hold that against
otherwise,
him.
Otherwise, seems like a great guy.
He does. So, getting back to this whole elbow issue. So we've talked about the outside part of the elbow. That's where the lateral epicondylitis or tennis elbow happens. We talked about the medial side of the elbow, where the golfer's elbow and the Tommy John type injuries happen. And now we're going to talk about the front of the elbow. So what happens up there? I heard friends, you know, people say, well, I tore my biceps tendon and my doctor said it was fine. Don't worry about it. And if other people say they tear their biceps tendon, they need to have surgery. What's the difference?
Well, the story is it needs to be checked quickly. If you typically this happens when people are moving something heavy. You're moving a lot of times sofa, a piece of furniture. The palm is up. Your fingers are underneath the bottom of the sofa. You're lifting it up, and somehow, you know, the buddy, you know, that friend of yours you're lifting that sofa with, and he decides to take a break right as you're heading down the stairs. And the weight of the sofa is all of a sudden on your arms alone, and then that one arm is suddenly straightening as your bicep tendon is trying to bend and hold it up. Those two opposing forces causes that bicep tendon to just go pop and ruptures off the attachment on the bone at the elbow.
So, you know, I usually carry couches by myself, but
I
understand what you mean. So if suddenly the weight of the couch lands on
because you don't have that friend who is willing to help you move.
I point and tell my boys where to move it. So what you're saying is that there are different types of injury, right? Because the biceps is a really interesting complex. So the reason it's called the biceps is they're two parts of the muscle, right? Mm-hmm. And at the shoulder, they go to two different places. One of them goes into the shoulder joint. And the other one goes to a little bump in front of the shoulder called the coracoid. And proximal biceps tears usually happen from the long head of the biceps tendon, which is just half of the muscle.
Proximal being at the shoulder.
Yeah, happens at the shoulder, right? So that rupture, you lose half of the tendon there, but the other part of it's still attached. And so it'll get bigger, and it accommodates for most things. The distal biceps at the elbow, on the other hand, is just one tendon for both muscles, right?
Right, just one attachment, one tendon attaching just beyond the elbow joint. And that's something that needs to be repaired in your typical middle-aged male who sustains this injury.
Yeah, this is something, guys, if you have this injury, you feel a pop in the elbow and you get bruising there and you feel like that muscle's pulled back, definitely get it checked very soon, right?
Yeah.
Because the sooner the better with this.
Even though you'll look in the mirror and your bicep muscle will actually look a little bigger, but it's moved up towards the shoulder and you think you're feeling pretty good about yourself because your bicep is suddenly a little bigger, but it's not supposed to look that way.
Yeah, if you have pain at the elbow and you felt a pop there, make sure you get it checked out. We have ways of repairing this now that are really sophisticated. The actual surgery for it is done just through a small incision, isn't it?
Yeah, it used to be a two-incision approach, typically. I believe that's the way the procedure originally started, and then progressed to a more advanced technique of using one incision in the front of the elbow with a nice little device called an endo button, which is a fancy word for... My analogy for that device is that it's kind of like a small paperclip, but a very fancy medical paperclip that we use to push through a small tunnel in the bone. It flips on the far side of the bone, and that's where the suture is held to hold the tendon right down to the surface of the bone where the tendon is supposed to attach.
Yeah, the key to this is that if you have this injury, it's very fixable, and people generally regain full function with it. If you wait and you say, well, I'll just see how it goes, what happens with this is the tendon retracts. It gets pulled by the muscle up, and it gets very difficult to get a good repair. So if you get to this one early, it's easy to fix, and people do great.
Yeah, if you wait more than – really 3 weeks is my rule of thumb. And waiting more than 3 weeks, that tendon, it furls up on itself. It gets stuck in a ball of scar tissue. It's a surgeons have nightmares about that little ball of scar tissue that – needs to be repaired.
Yeah, and the reason that Dr. Amin Afsari is telling you this is because if that happens, you have to then open up there, and that's where all the nerves and blood vessels are, and it gets a little bit more complex. It's still fixable, but it's harder to fix for sure than it is if you get it acutely. So the bottom line is, if you're lifting something heavy, you feel a pop at the elbow in the front, you definitely want to get that checked right away. And one of the things that we use as a guide for this, because I talk to a lot of the other primary doctors out there about these injuries, is bruising, right? So if you see bruising, you know you've torn something. That's because it bled there. And if you see that, you really should get it checked out and make sure you get it evaluated.
Yeah, that's definitely, we call it ecchymosis. That bruising around an injury is certainly a sign of a more significant injury than just a bump or a bruise.
So another issue that I wanted to touch on a little bit with you, Dr. Afsari, is that we're independent doctors, right? So we don't work for anyone. We work with Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare a lot, because we really respect the way that they do their healthcare delivery, but we actually don't work for anyone. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that when people are seen in the emergency room departments, oftentimes they're given a referral name, and that's the on-call physician. And we, most of the time, that's perfectly great for people to follow up with that doctor. But you should understand you're not required to do that. And if you want to get another opinion or if you want to see an independent physician, you can certainly look us up on mymosh.com, M-Y-M-O-S-H.com, and you can find a doctor who will be working just for you. And that's what independent doctors do.
Yeah, it's great to be an independent group, and Wheaton allows us to do so. And we see injuries from up north and from here in town that come to us from other ER systems.
Yeah, I tell you, we've seen patients, believe it or not, as far away as Hawaii, who've lived here in the past. They've come back for treatment. So it's a great place to come, Midwest Orthopedic Specialty Hospital and Midwest Orthopedic Specialty Services. All right, on the other side of the break, we're going to clean things up here a little bit, talk about getting rid of stiffness in the elbow and arthritis with arthroscopy. And we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. This is with the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can just see the guy dancing, can't you?
Yeah.
It's a Caddyshack weekend this weekend with a PGA Championship at Whistling Straits. If you ever get a chance to get up there and play, go for it. It costs you a bloody fortune these days, but it's worth it. And if not, get up there and have a look at the tournament this weekend.
Well, not to mention the cost of all the balls.
Yeah. Well, you might find some, too. There are a lot of balls that have been hit up there.
I lose a stroke when I find a ball.
Do you know there are over 1,000 bunkers at Whistling Straits?
I did not know that.
All right, I'll tell you a quick story about
Dustin
it.
Johnson because, didn't know that either.
Yeah, you know, Phil Mickelson yesterday hit his ball in a place that I saw a guy hit his ball at. I always wondered if anyone would ever get out of there. And left of the 17th green, which is one of the coolest holes you'll ever see, which, by the way, the pros are playing from what would be the blue tees. The black tees are actually back almost 260 yards on the par 3, 17th. They might put it back there at the end of the tournament. Anyway, he hit it to the left. Well, to the left, it drops almost 20 feet straight down into tall grass and bunkers. And Phil Mickelson was down there in a bunker right where this other guy was I played with years ago. And years ago, the guy, we were up on the green, and we'd see this big puff of sand come up and no ball. And then a big puff of sand and no ball. And then finally, there came a ball with no puff of sand. And we looked down, and he just threw it up. He went for the Kareem sky hook, put it up on the green. It was a good choice on
his
part. One
of my favorite shots.
So I'll also tell you a brief Steve Stricker story. So for those of you who don't know, Steve Stricker was very much at the top of his game when he kind of lost the ability to drive the ball. He started getting the driving yips, and he started hooking the ball unexpectedly. And it literally was destroying his career. And he dropped into the 200s, kind of like Tiger is now, in the world rankings and was completely off the tour. Well, at this time, my kids, they grew up, my boys, Liam and Aiden, they are junior golfers. And we were at an event, a charity event, and Steve Stricker was there, and so was Jerry Kelly. And Jerry Kelly was on the tour at the time. So we were at Ozaukee Country Club, and those two guys came up. And I got to tell you, first of all, those are two of the nicest guys ever. They spent tons of time talking to the boys and giving him some advice and sort of tease him a little bit. Well, Jerry Kelly told us a story about a water tower. And he said, you know, if you're near a water tower and that water tower is near a golf course, don't park near the water tower. And the boys said, well, why not? And he said, because of this. And he dropped a ball down on the tee box and he took dead aim at the water tower and he took a 9-iron and he just clanged.
Wow.
Right off the water tower. And Stricker, to his credit, did not do that, but he was laughing a lot at the time. And we could tell from watching Strick's play at the time, we followed those guys for a while, that he was playing a lot better. And about two years later, he was up at the top of the FedEx Cup leaderboard. And so it's so great to see him back playing again, playing in Wisconsin. And remember, don't park under a water tower if it's near a golf course.
Near a golf course.
All right. So moving along, we promised to discuss a little bit about stiffness and tightness in the elbow. This is a problem I think, Dr. Afsari, a lot of people feel like they just have to live with.
Yeah, you know, it's not. And it's not something you have to live with. But interestingly, the adult elbows get stiff very easily.
Yeah, they
even if you take a normal elbow and if you put in a long arm cast for 2 weeks, you come out of that cast, you're going to be stiff. So even the slightest injury, sprain, strain, small minor fracture can cause quite a bit of elbow stiffness.
Yeah, and if you have that kind of problem, you may be working with a therapist who may be helping you to try to get it back. And some people develop this over time. You know, they gradually lose extension of the elbow and they can't straighten it all the way. And they think that it's just the way it is. And sometimes they don't even notice it until you point it out.
Yeah, there's different causes of it too. Sometimes it's arthritis. Sometimes there's a loose body floating in the joint. And if there's something loose floating in the joint, you may get some locking. And that locking could turn into some stiffness. And those are things you certainly don't have to live with.
Yeah, the point is that when you have those problems, there are techniques called arthroscopy. Now, arthroscopy means, you know, scopy means scoping, means putting a telescope or a small fiber optic camera into the joint. Arthro means joint. So arthroscopy means putting a small fiber optic camera into the joint. And we do this all the time, and you hear about it in the shoulder and the knee and the ankle and so forth. Well, the elbow is amenable to this technique as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know you do a lot of these, Dr. McCarty, and it's certainly more common now. We can treat more problems with it, and it's minimally invasive. There's less pain with that procedure and quicker recoveries.
Yeah, it's something I know I've found very rewarding for us to do because a lot of people don't do it because the nerves and vessels are close, and so you have to be comfortable with it. But it's actually a very reproducible technique. Mm-hmm. The reason we brought it up with stiffness, it can be used for tennis elbow treatment as well. I do that all the time. But for stiffness, you can actually take bone spurs out of the elbow. arthroscopically, and that can dramatically improve people's function.
Sometimes the actual sac around the joint, which is called the joint capsule, is scarred down, and that can be excised arthroscopically as well, and that releases the scar tissue that's causing the stiffness, and then you can get the elbow out moving again.
Yeah. So, bottom line is, if you're out there and you have problems with stiffness in the elbow, come visit us at mymosh.com, mymosh.com. You can see Dr. Amin Afsari or Dr. McCarty, myself, there. And you can look up these issues, and if you want to come have a look at it and see what's wrong, and we can give you advice. We're definitely not cut first doctors. We like to get you better without surgery if possible. We use our colleagues, the physical therapists and trainers and so forth, if we can. But if you need it, it's something that's an option to you. We can describe that to you.
So. Yeah, typically sooner is better. If you see us sooner, we can get you moving, get you working on those problems so that you don't end up with chronic stiffness or other issues like that.
Yeah, that's for sure. So we really appreciate you spending part of your day with us. We're going to have you make sure you check out Irish Fest this weekend. I know the Arthritis Foundation run's about to get underway. We wish luck to our three teams. Dr. Eric Pifel's one of the board members for the Arthritis Foundation, trying to fight this terrible disease. And, of course, the PGA Championship, very excited to see the end of that. So my daughter's here. She wants to say good luck to my wife and sons who are in Chicago. They're doing a challenge. They're racing through the city to earn a prize. So come on, Megs. Give it to them.
Hello. Good luck, Liam, Aiden, and Mom, and I hope you have a lot of fun running or various other things in your 5K race.
All right. All the best to everyone. Thank you again for listening. This has been the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.